Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
I have a show and tell for you this morning, and it relates to this guy whose face is on the screen, but the show and tell is actually this paper, a paper that I wrote for that professor many years ago. The professor's name is Tyler Roberts, and he died suddenly about 10 days ago. And as I sat at his memorial service on Friday, I was reflecting on the ways that he really shaped the way that I think and engage with the world around me. He was never satisfied with easy answers, particularly in the religious world, and he cared about religion, not because he was a religious person himself, but because he knew that's where the good questions were. He loved a good question. And he wanted to know and understand why people thought the way that they did, which meant that his feedback was always very deep and often a little uncomfortable to receive. So I have a paper with his notes in the margin. The notes are the really good part here, right there. You can't read them. I can barely read them. But Tyler was a really generous instructor and advisor, and his notes showed how seriously he engaged with people's ideas, his students' ideas as well. He was a gift to us. And so going back to those papers is a gift as well in his memory. Today's scripture reading is going to include something along those lines. It includes the death of a woman in the early church. And the church surrounds this woman's body after she dies with gifts that she created. So Tyler worked in words and Tabitha worked in fabrics. And it has me thinking about the ways that we mourn. The ways that we mourn by surrounding our loved ones with their most valuable gifts. And so you know that the ancient pharaohs of Egypt were buried with their riches and sometimes even with the people that they had enslaved. Tyler was surrounded in life and in death by books and students and children, his children who are now adults, but those were some of the most precious things in his life. And as we read our scripture this morning, I invite you to listen for what Tabitha's most valuable gifts were. Will you join me in a prayer for illumination? Spirit of God, descend upon our hearts, be poured out on us all, and fill us with prophecies, visions, and dreams of the world made new. Teach us to love you and love our neighbors as we ought to love. Amen. The scripture reading comes from Acts chapter 9, verses 32 through 43. Now as Peter went here and there among all the believers, he came down also to the saints living in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden for 8 years, for he was paralyzed. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed." And immediately he got up. And all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, who heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then, calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We're in the season of, well, summer, but in the season of Pentecost, in the way that the church keeps time. We remember that the church emerged out of Jesus' resurrection back in April when we celebrated that day as victory over death. And that victory over death was further fulfilled last month when the Holy Spirit moved into human community with tongues of fire on people's heads and the gift of languages so that we might understand each other. And we are now learning some of the stories that unfolded after that gift of the Holy Spirit came on that church. And we're particularly learning from some of the stories of women in that early church, as we learn how to be faithful through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, as that new community built on the idea that death has been defeated, as it grew and expanded and continued to live into this new reality, they had to answer new questions. And one of the big questions arose when people started dying. And not only as martyrs, which somehow makes a little bit more sense when you think about the life of the early church, but people started, or I should say continued, dying of things like illness. How could that possibly be when death itself has been defeated? How does this work? We had thought that death was over, said the church, and now here it is, and it's taken Tabitha too. We still want to avoid death today, or at least avoid talking about death today. We imagine somehow that death applies to everyone else except for us. And ironically, when we try to avoid talking about death, when we try to imagine that somehow that's not the reality, we actually give death so much more power. It ends up defining everything that we do instead of just being another part of this life. So Peter comes to Tabitha's house. And he comes to Tabitha's house because it is not yet clear, or it's again unclear, how it is that Jesus is victorious over death. This dynamic woman leader in the church who had been filled with righteous actions and kindness, which is to say that she was devoted to serving God through those who are poor and in need. Remember that the early church found its earliest and strongest traction among those who were in need, because the early church thought of itself as a new kind of household. A new kind of household that shares everything just the way you do in a household. And the kingdom of God emerges right there in that new household where everyone somehow has what they need because those who didn't seem to have enough share what they have with each other, and all of a sudden, there it is. There is plenty. The kingdom of God grew among those who were on the edges of the worldly kingdoms and structures around them, and it was those people that Tabitha and the widows served and clothed. Which is to say that Tabitha has been ushering in the kingdom of God among that early church by creating a resurrection household right there in her own home. And then she died. And then she died. Because death has been defeated. Death has ultimately been defeated, but it is still so powerful in this world. And what does that mean for this resurrection household that Tabitha and these widows have been building together? The community gathers around Tabitha to mourn. They gather to remember who Tabitha was and tell the stories of who she has been and to celebrate the work that she has done on behalf of God's beloved people. And they gather to call on Peter's help. Whatever it is Peter could do, he has this reputation as a healer, as we heard in the very first scene this morning. He had just healed someone in Lydda, but this was a whole other level from telling Aeneas that it's time finally to stand up and make his bed. Tabitha's death was real, but it was not the final word. Tabitha's death was real, but it was not the final word. That's what resurrection means. Resurrection doesn't mean that death is not real. Resurrection means that death is not the end. And so Peter speaks. Peter speaks, and Tabitha rises up again. Not as a promise that that happens in a tangible way for each of us, but as a reminder of what it means that Christ is risen and that we live in that reality now. Tabitha is raised to let us know that the kingdom of God is too big for any one of us or even all of us to complete in just one lifetime. Tabitha's resurrection is a sign of this new reality that we live in, a reality bigger than we can accomplish in one lifetime, bigger than what we can do in this world. So the kingdom of God grows in these slow, hidden ways. It grows in relationships that heal when we are courageous enough to tell the truth to each other. It grows in hearts that heal when we are courageous and strong enough to forgive one another. The kingdom of God grows in more visible ways when neighbors share food with one another, when neighbors repair each other's homes and build neighborhoods and households together. And the kingdom of God grows when a crafty woman gathers some widows together to make tunics and clothing for those who need them. And she creates a community where everyone has what they need. The kingdom of God is too big for any one of us to do. And that's part of why it is resurrection work. It's bigger than any one of us. It's bigger than any one of our lifetimes. Not even death can take away what we are doing in the kingdom of God. And that sets us free. It sets us free not to count only how much we can accomplish in this one life. It sets us free to look beyond any one life. It sets us free not to plan what we think will work the best for us and for the world as it is. It sets us free to envision a world beyond anything that we thought could be possible. Which means that Tabitha's life work continues as well. That's why the widows gather around her with her life's work. They gather around Tabitha with her life's work because it continues. It continues in the life of the church. It continues among us today. Thanks be to God, the kingdom is too big for one lifetime. Amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
Our moment for mission this morning lifts up our June Coins for Concern partner, which is Meals from the Heartland. Meals from the Heartland has continued to package food throughout the pandemic. Covenant's youth group has worked there twice, and some post-youth Covenant members have joined them for that. This month, all the loose change in the offering plate will be given to Coins for Concern to support Meals from the Heartland. If you are worshiping or giving online, all you need to do is designate your contribution, Coins for Concern. So as the offering plates are passed, here is a word from Meals from the Heartland about how important our financial contributions are.
Our volunteers are amazing. You are amazing. So much so that you're packaging more meals than our budget currently allows. But we will not let that deter us from living out our mission of empowering people to save starving children. Instead, temporarily, we may limit our packaging shifts to 90 minutes. We can only package meals for which we have funding. During a typical shift, we'll go through about $5,000 in ingredients. And those meal ingredients, they aren't donated, and nor do we receive government funding. So if you're listening to this message here in our training room, we humbly ask that you consider a donation as a part of offsetting the costs of the life-saving meals that you'll be packaging today. If you're listening to this online as a part of our registration process, likewise, please consider a donation as you close out your registration. Over 90 cents of every dollar that is donated goes directly towards our programming expenses. So thank you again to our amazing volunteers, supporters, and donors. We are so grateful for your time, your talent, and your treasure. Again, thank you and our blessings to each and every one of you.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.